The Lord is speaking to Moses here in verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 18, please. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I should command him. Another verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. One more verse, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I don't know if you caught the connection between the three scriptures that we read together, all referring to the person of the Lord Jesus. I want to speak about the Lord Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. There are three offices of the Lord Jesus. He has many offices. He has many names and titles, hundreds of them. But we would like to restrict our thoughts to these three offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet like unto Moses. A priest after the order of Melchizedek. And a king, son of David. Three offices. A prophet is a messenger. A priest is a minister. And a king is a monarch. Three M's. Prophet is a messenger. He has a message from God, and he has been called by God to deliver that message to the people of God. The prophet is a messenger. The priest is a minister, and the king is a monarch. These three offices of the Lord Jesus are past, present, and future experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prophet during his public ministry when he was here upon the earth. He is a priest, the great high priest today, in this, the church age. He is king, but he is not reigning as king today. He will be king in the future, in the millennium, and for all eternity. As far as king is concerned, he is reigning in exile. He's been rejected as king. And he is in heaven, but he is reigning in exile as king. Number one, the Lord Jesus as a prophet. He's a messenger. A prophet is one who is called by God. He is given a message from God to share with the people of God. That summarizes the responsibility of the prophet. His past prophetic ministry, it began at the River Jordan. That's when the Lord Jesus was baptized. And that's when his prophetic ministry began. And it ended at Calvary, when he died on the cross at Calvary. That ended his prophetic ministry. Now, Peter agrees with the prophecy of the Lord Jesus, that he was a prophet like unto Moses. In Peter's message in Acts chapter 3, he speaks very clearly about the Lord Jesus as a prophet after the likeness of Moses. Moses and the Lord Jesus. How do we compare the two? Both of these men were men of mountains, weren't they? Moses was the man of Mount Sinai. You remember, he was the one that was called into the mountain by God to pick up the Ten Commandments and to bring them down to the people. Moses is a man of the mountain of Mount Sinai. Speaks of the law. Very cold, very distant. But that's what it is. The Lord Jesus is also a man of a mountain, Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary. An altogether different message than Moses had when he came down out of the mountain. The message that Moses had for the people of God when he came out of the mountain, don't you dare touch the foot of this mountain or you're going to die on the spot. That's the message of Moses, Mount Sinai. The message of the Lord Jesus, it is finished. Father, forgive them. Aren't you thankful for the day of grace? We're living in the day of grace. Both were men of mountains. Both of them, that is Moses and the Lord Jesus, represented a holy God. Both of them warned about judgment to come. Both Moses and the Lord Jesus were deliverers from slavery. You remember the story now, don't you? Moses in the land of Egypt. The children of Israel were in slavery for 400 years under Pharaoh and under the Egyptians. And Moses was the man that God used to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh. The Lord Jesus is a deliverer too, and I'm thankful for that. He delivers us from more than just the bondage of Egypt and the bondage of Pharaoh. He delivers us from the bondage of sin. He delivers us from the bondage of Satan. He delivers us from the bondage of the flesh. I'm thankful for our Savior, who is our deliverer. A prophet is a messenger. He is a mouthpiece for God. And he has a message from God. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only the messenger, he is not only the mouthpiece for God, he's the message. He's the message. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Aren't you glad? An inspired prophet in the Word of God has a three-dimension vision, past, present, and future. An inspired prophet. In the past, both Moses and the Lord Jesus had knowledge of the past. Moses had a knowledge of creation, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. He knew about creation. He knew about the fall of sin, fall into sin. He knew about the flood. All of these were past experiences. And here is a prophet that is acquainted with the past experiences. The Lord Jesus is acquainted with all of them. Acquainted with creation because he is the creator. Acquainted with the fall because he was sinned against when Adam and Eve fell into sin. The present, Moses proclaimed a present message to the people. He had a message to carry to the people. The Lord Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, had a message to carry to the people. The future, both Moses and the Lord Jesus predicted the future. Those predictions that the Lord Jesus has made as a prophet either have been fulfilled or they are going to be fulfilled. Do you believe that? In fact, that's the mark of a true prophet. If a prophet makes a prediction and his prophecy doesn't come through, what do? Scratch him off the list. He's a false prophet. But the mark of a true prophet, his prophecies come true. The Lord Jesus made a lot of predictions. He predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection. This came true, didn't it? In fact, the Lord predicted that his death would take place at Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed, that he would be scourged, that he would be crucified, that he would be raised again after the third day. All of these predictions have come true. The Lord Jesus predicted the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus said that not one stone in Jerusalem is going to be upon the other. That took place 70 years later when Titus sacked the city of Jerusalem. It came true. The Lord Jesus predicted that Jerusalem and the Jews would be dominated by the Gentiles. Do you believe that came true? Not only read your Bible, read the newspaper, and you will find that the Jews have been dominated by the Gentile nations until the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled, beloved. You read the newspapers and your heart sinks. There's trouble in the Middle East and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But cheer up. The end of the time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. Another thing that the Lord Jesus predicted that came true, the imperishableness of this book. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Has that come true? There have been atheists and haters of the gospel and haters of the word of God through the centuries that have done everything in their power to destroy this book. It is just as solid today as it was when it was written. Now, there are some unfulfilled prophecies. Are you confident that the unfulfilled prophecies of the Lord Jesus are going to be fulfilled? Are you satisfied? Are you sure? You're sure they're going to be fulfilled? Most of you are shaking your heads. Yes, so am I. I'm positive that the unfulfilled prophecies that the Lord Jesus has made are going to be fulfilled. What's one of them? Surely I come quickly. That's a beautiful promise. It hasn't been fulfilled, but you believe it's going to be fulfilled? Maybe even before we finish the meeting today. Wouldn't that be great? The signs of the last days. I tell you, you think about the signs of the last days and your heart could sink. Worldliness. That's one of the signs of the last days. Do you see worldliness in the professing Christian church today? Worldliness. Pleasures of sin. Do you see that in Christendom today? Entertainment instead of expounding the scriptures? That's common in Christendom today. Confusion in politics. Is that coming true? It's not coming true. It is true right now. Read your newspaper. No, don't. The Lord Jesus Christ one day will reign in righteousness throughout the world. It's not reigning today. We'll come to that soon. He's a king in exile. But one day he's going to reign. Point number one, prophet, the messenger. Point number two, the priest, minister. That commenced at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He's our great high priest. It will end at the coming again of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus comes again, we're not going to need the great high priest praying for us and appealing on our behalf. You see, a priest is one who intercedes for man on God's behalf. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing today as our great high priest. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Is that meaningful? What does it mean to us? Not after Aaron, the high priest. Aren't you glad? When Moses came out of the mountain, what did he find his big brother Aaron doing? He made a golden calf and he got the people of God to worship that golden calf. You don't want a priest after the order of Aaron, do you? I don't. Complete failure. He failed. And he died. How about Melchizedek? That's a mysterious person, isn't it? You ever read about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14? And you just can't really understand it? Don't feel bad. I can't either. The Lord Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And one of the features of Melchizedek is no genealogy. No record of his birth and no record of his death. And what do we learn from Melchizedek? Eternal. No beginning and no ending. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest forever. Because he ever lives. Aaron, his priesthood ended. You know why? He died. He died. Melchizedek didn't die. Melchizedek tells us that our great high priest is an eternal high priest, no beginning and no ending. He continues forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is a divinely appointed priest. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. Called of God. He's a high priest because God called him into that ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect priest. It says that he is holy, harmless, undefiled. That's in Hebrews chapter 7. Holy. Can't say that about Aaron, can you? He was holy, God-word, harmless, man-word, undefiled, inward. Aaron was ceremonial clean. That's all, ceremonial clean. He went through a ritual. From the brazen altar, he would go past the laver, and he had to wash every time. Every time he was going to enter into the presence of God, he had to come to the laver, and he had to bathe his hands and his feet. Aaron was ceremoniously clean, but it had to be repeated again and again and again. The Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful and a faithful high priest. That can't be said of Aaron. Aaron wasn't faithful. He proved his unfaithfulness by making the golden calf, and he died. The Lord is a sympathetic high priest. He was tempted like we are. He went through all of the temptations. You face a temptation, you take it to the Lord, and you know what the great high priest says? I know all about it. I was there. I was there. You see, our great high priest, he prays for us so we don't sin. That's something that the Old Testament saints never had. Our great high priest at God's right hand, he prays for us so that we don't sin. And then he is our advocate. He pleads for us when we do sin, and we do sin. You agree? We've got a great high priest who is praying for us that we don't sin. There's no excuse for sinning. But the problem is we do. We've got an advocate that pleads our case when we do sin. Prophet, he is the messenger and message. Priest, he is the minister. And number three, he is king. King of kings and Lord of lords. He is monarch. Monarch. In control. Not yet. He's a king in exile today. But you can be sure of this. One day, he is going to control. He's going to be monarch. You know, as I study this subject, I looked up the word monarch in an encyclopedia. There are thousands of monarchs in the world today. Thousands of them. Most of them just figures. No authority. They have no rule of any kind. But they're called monarchs. And they get a huge salary. One of them, Forbes suggests that she is worth $300 billion. And she doesn't do a thing except collect her salary and make the people of the country poor. Aren't you glad when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be king? He's going to control. He's going to be in full control. Kingdom, as it is used in the scriptures, simply means a realm or a people over which a monarch rules. That's the definition of a kingdom in scripture. And it speaks of this kingdom as God's kingdom. It belongs to Him, not to some of the monarchs that's usurping authority in the world today. The kingdom age, that is going to be the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's future reign upon the earth. It commences at the appearing of the Lord Jesus, and it continues through the millennium and into eternity. That's the kingdom age. As we said before, today the Lord Jesus Christ is king in exile, but one day he will openly reign as sovereign. He qualifies as king, not only after the order of Melchizedek, but he's from the tribe of Judah, that's the kingly tribe, and of the seed of David, son of David. He qualifies. Jerusalem is called Zion in Scripture. That is the throne city of the great king, Jerusalem. The throne city of the great king. Is that what we see today? Read your newspapers. Jerusalem has a mosque. It doesn't have a temple. And all of the countries of the world, including the United States, they want the Jews to give up Jerusalem to the Palestinians. Isn't that horrible? They're not reading their Bible. That's not the way it's going to happen. There's going to be a bloody war before it's over with. But you know, I'm 86 years old and I'm on my way to heaven, so I'm not going to worry about it. There's going to be a rough time in the Middle East, I promise you. If you're up on what's happening, it's coming. It's coming. The Antichrist is going to take over. And there's going to be a bloody war. But cheer up. The Lord is coming. And I'm on my way to heaven. At that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will reign in absolute righteousness and justice. Isn't that going to be wonderful? You don't see that today. That's not the story of politics today. In that day, there will be universal and everlasting peace and plenty. What a beautiful time. You know why? Because my Savior is going to come and take over, and He's going to reign as King. Kingdom of Heaven. What's the Kingdom of Heaven? We read about it in the Scriptures. The Kingdom of Heaven is an earthly kingdom with heavenly character. Let me run that past again. The Kingdom of Heaven is an earthly kingdom with heavenly character, and the Lord Jesus is going to set it up. The gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom contains abiding principles for godly living. Let me run that past again. The gospel of the kingdom contains abiding principles for godly living. You want to read about those principles? Sermon on the Mount is a good place, a good place to start. You're going to find some abiding principles there for godly living that's going to take place in the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, some more principles for godly living. Prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, God's mouthpiece, God's messenger, God's message. Listen to him. Listen to him. He's got a message. He's got a message for all of us. Priest, mediation, prayers, and pleading. I need thee every hour. That's a song we sometimes sing, don't we? You know why we sing it? Because I need him every hour. Prophet, priest, king. King of kings. Lord of lords. He is worthy of our worship. Brother Currien, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, we want to thank you again for giving us another opportunity to sit under the sound of your powerful word. We want to thank you for